May it please the court, I'm Gatsby Mwangi for Guillermo Tejada, who's petitioner in this case. Mr. Tejada and his wife and two children came to the United States from Peru and applied for asylum based upon a fear of persecution because of Mr. Tejada's 14 years in the Peruvian Air Force, where he worked as a technician and was involved in operations against terrorists who were opposed to the regime in Peru. And one of the groups, Sendero Luminoso, the Shining Path, targeted him and his family after he had retired, making threatening phone calls, threatening his life and the lives of his family, and leaving threatening graffiti on the walls of his residence, doors, and so on and so forth.
But didn't the immigration judge find that these threatening, it's very hard to trace, or his evidence is extremely vague about who was making these phone calls? Unfortunately, Shining Path isn't the only bad organization in Peru. We have no idea who's making these phone calls.
That is correct, Judge Wood. The immigration judge argued that he could not prove that these threats came from Sendero Luminoso. Mr. Tejada's testimony was that he believed that these threats came from them based upon the nature of the threats, how often they came, and he believed based upon other people who were receiving the threats, and these threats were not uncommon, and their nature reflected the common belief of those kinds of threats which Sendero Luminoso was believed to be issuing.
Right, but don't you need something, you know, some evidence about somebody who has studied the Shining Path organization, or testimony from other people, or something, other than just kind of standing there saying, I'm getting terrible anonymous phone calls, and I have this belief from various characteristics that it's Shining Path, but we don't know. We don't have any evidence in the record, do we, to tell us what their pattern of behavior is, what they do?
Your Honor, I didn't represent him before the immigration judge.
I don't mean to be criticizing you personally, but it's just when we're asked to review whether the IJ has erred in saying, you know, I just don't see enough in this record either to link the things that are arguably rather serious, like a death threat, to this organization, and the other things you're talking about actually aren't bad enough, if you will, you know, calling people names and so on, even if they're bad names. How can we say the IAJ was wrong to come to that conclusion?
In a perfect world, you'd expect some positive evidence, but as courts have pointed out, persecutors are hardly going to provide their victims with affidavits saying it is us who desire to kill you. And so he's in this situation where he's running for his life, and he has his word and only his word, and he arrives here and presents himself to the court and testifies. The IJ did not find him lacking in credibility, and the IJ did not make an adverse credibility determination. He testified, as far as I can tell, credibly, and the IJ argued that this could have been anybody else, but the IJ could not point to the other people it could have been, and so there were threats. He believed there was Sendero Luminoso, and even assuming there were not, somebody else was after this guy's life. This guy had served for 14 years. He'd been part of a group of military who were carrying out operations against terrorist groups, and therefore, even assuming it was not a particular group, his life was in some form of danger, which I think, for lack of any proof, we can assume may have been tied to his activities against the terrorist organizations in Peru.
Well, that may be true, but listen to how many maybes there are here. In fact, if it were just somebody who had a personal grudge against him, we wouldn't even have the necessary link somehow or another to the government. I had another question for you, though. Does it make any difference whether this is, in fact, political opinion or social group in terms of the basis of his complaint? Because he did certainly check political opinion on the form, not social group of those who are former military.
Your Honor, it would ordinarily make a difference. But the problem here is that initially when he filed the application, he was not represented. And as a pro se applicant, he's permitted mistakes due to linguistic difficulties, lack of sophistication, and other problems. He testified and was subject to cross-examination, and the record on, as a whole, establishes social group as the theory under which his claim falls. And so, yes, he did not mark social group, the box on the application, but the immigration judge is representing the agency which is the expert administering this statute, and so we expect the immigration judge to, in addition to adjudicating the claim, to look at the evidence, and because the board has required the INS and the immigration judge to also play a part in providing the background to the case and country conditions, which they're going to then use to adjudicate the claim, to be able to understand the circumstances under which this claim is occurring, and not to just leave it to the applicant to provide everything. I mean, matter of SMJ has an affirmative requirement that the immigration judge provide background and understand the country conditions of the country that she is adjudicating the claim from. And so, yes, he did not mark it, but it is the burden of the IJ to understand what happens in the country from which this claim comes. And so, yes, he did not prove who was persecuting him. He did not prove the identity of these people. But the board's case, matter of TMJ, says he doesn't have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. I think we can allow him a little vagueness because he's running for his life. He's not expected to get affidavits from the people who want to kill him. And so after he served 14 years in a military, which...
You're way into your rebuttal time. You want to save a minute or two?
I think I will save a minute for my rebuttal. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Belongi. Mr. McLean?
Yes. Good morning. May it please the court, Dan McLean for the respondent. The petitioner here did not challenge the immigration judge's finding that what he allegedly suffered did not amount to persecution. So that's really off the table. That's not at issue here. What is at issue in this appeal is whether the IJ reasonably determined that he did not suffer, the petitioner did not suffer a well-founded fear of persecution. And there are really three undisputed facts that show why the petition for review should be dismissed and the agency's decision should be affirmed. The first is that the petitioner visited the United States on at least two prior occasions and didn't request asylum after these allegedly threatening phone calls occurred. Second is he lived in another part of Peru for 7 years without incident. Record shows that. Immigration judge noted that too. And third is, again, this is undisputed, the Department of State materials and the Amnesty International materials in the administrative record showed that the Shining Path power had been greatly diminished. And
that's the one that I was, I mean, the first two are certainly particular to him, but Shining Path seems to be a matter of concern to our own government, a matter of concern, perhaps even strengthening in its force now. So I would hate to say that his potential fear of future persecution is unfounded, because Shining Path isn't a force to be reckoned with still.
Well,
the record is isn't too good for you on that.
Well, I think the record as it stood before the immigration judge and as it stood before the board was undisputed that the Shining Path had been confined. It had been significantly reduced in power. Now, Your Honor pointed out that the Department of State had certified it as a foreign terrorist organization, and that is...
I hope they're not doing that frivolously, by the way, but I'm assuming they do that for serious reasons.
And I assume they do, Your Honor, but the reasons they do that are different for the reasons that we apply asylum. I mean...
But the organization itself is based in Peru.
That's
right?
Correct, Your Honor.
And he lives in Peru, and if this organization in Peru is targeting you in Peru, the fact that they may not be quite as big as they once were might not be much comfort to you if they're in fact calling you on the phone threatening to kill you.
Well, I have two responses to that, Your Honor. The first is that there's no evidence that the Shining Path, at least that we can glean from the State Department reports or the Amnesty International reports, there's no evidence that the Shining Path is targeting former Air Force maintenance workers. What the evidence does show is that largely their attacks are, unfortunately, on the civilian population. And that's why the Department of State, one of the reasons we can assume that the Department of State certified it as a foreign terrorist organization.
So we're going to assume that they don't attempt to take revenge on military personnel who've tried to stop them in their tracks?
Well, we can assume that they try, but we can also glean from the State Department reports that they're generally not successful. And part of the reason they're not so successful is because as of 1999, they were confined largely to the rainforests. And the regulations provide in the asylum context that if you can resettle elsewhere within the country, then you're required to do so and your asylum claim will fail. So
right. I've always thought that was a very ethnocentric part of the regulations on our part, since people in other parts of the world don't move as readily as we do. Often there are all sorts of cultural inhibitions against moving. That in the United States, where people pick up and move at the drop of a hat, it's rather different.
Well, that may be true, Your Honor, but the evidence in this case is clear. He didn't,
he
lived there for 7 years without incident. Your Honor also asked, does it matter that the immigration judge didn't talk about a social group claim as opposed to
right.
political opinion?
Yeah.
And as he pointed out, he checked off the political opinion box. But in any event, it's really irrelevant because...
Your brief seems to say, actually, at this point, it doesn't make too much difference.
That's right, Your Honor,
and
that's our position. For all these reasons, we ask that the agency's decision be affirmed. Unless the court has any other questions, I'll rely upon the briefs.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McClain.
Thank you.
Mr. Mwangi, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
My learned colleague pointed out that Sendero Luminoso attacked civilians. When my client retired, he did become a civilian, and I have nothing further.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mwangi. Thank you to both counsel. Last case, Doug.